When I walked in, I was greeted by this bunny right over here, a Baptist church, you know, and I kind of knew where I was going. But by the way, this is the best part of this church service. But it all ties into the last part of the message. You know, I believe, and I'm a big believer in application of the scriptures. It's great to have all this truth, but the application of it makes it work in your lives. It's got to working. So I'm going to cover the application of what I've been covering last. And it kind of fit a little bit into this Baptist church that we visited, greeted by an Easter bunny. And I put my arm around him before I said, are you a boy or a girl? He says, boy. So I put my arm around him, take a picture, you know, and make sure I'm not any problem there, you know. Me and Gene are the only one who had a Bible. We walk in, no one had a Bible. I'm the only one who had a tie on it and a jacket. I mean, I'm not saying if to wear one, but I mean, no one had a tie and a jacket. And we got inside, dark. I mean, you know what places are dark? Bars, right? Gambling establishments, strip joints. I'm just telling you. I mean, driver coming here, there's no windows in the place, keeping it dark. And they had automatic shades on the window. I couldn't even read it. I mean, it's showing you the kind of what's going on today, kind of with this last days here. And they had a video on the screen, and some guy, you know, torn pants, earrings, you know, walking down there, introducing the opening. This is Resurrection Sunday now, you know, introducing everything, a graveyard, lights flashing, everything, and then out comes, you know, the band, you know, a full band. My heart, I don't know, you really beats hard when I see that stuff. But Shem, I mean, it takes a while to get used to. I'm like, oh man, you know, just you know, they're typical, the ladies right in the middle there, the worship team leader, you know, and all that stuff, you know, and I call 7-Eleven music, you know. It's the same seven stanza printed 11 times, you know, and if you look at the words, they're nothing about Jesus Christ, the blood. It's all just a bunch of, it never even, anybody can sing those songs. You can bring that song to any religion. He's okay. I mean, who's he? You know, you can plug that same words in any quote faith and they can sing them. You know, there's no Jesus Christ blood. I mean, you know, just that 7-Eleven type thing. So I watch around, I go, you know, it's good to go once or twice because you can observe. And if you go, observe. Now, just a ton of young folks. They like that. I mean, it's packed with young people. And man, a nice building, a side building, parking lot, coffees. I got some nice stuff, you know? Thinking that's godly, you know? The pastor shows up, they have a Bible. Ding, ding, you know, dressed in cool dude jeans and the hanging shirt, you know? And he had a screen. And I think he covered five verses. And then he was using Peter, the book of Peter. It's kind of a, you know, tribulation book, whatever, and pulls things out of line. But oh, Peter's a great guy. Look at this great facility. They showed a picture of Saint, you know, Peter's Basilica in Rome. I've been there. It's satanic. The head of that thing, I've never been to Rome at all. I've been there, visited. You know, they have a big starburst as their main center. I mean, it's just all idolatry. I don't even know the difference between, that's pagan. Look at how great and beautiful this facility, Basilica, is. I'm like, the devils. I mean, they didn't even understand, you know, one of the mysteries there, you know. Anyways, four or five Bible verses, such basic stuff. I mean, like going to a kid's a Sunday school lesson. And I'm sitting in the second row. I think he's seen me, my Bible and my face. I think after church, he baked out the back door. I want me to talk to him, you know. The pastor's bailed. I'm looking at him like, oh, I'm going to talk to this guy. Just ask him a few things, whatever, you know. What charity, you know. But he bailed, so I didn't see him afterwards, you know. Hey, stick around. Talk to some folks, you know. And then, of course, they use the New Living Translation, you know. No King James. My wife here goes, I'm going to talk to the song leader. She says, there's war in this camp, she says, you know. So my wife would talk to him, and I was talking to someone over there, people we went with. And so I went over there, and a guy was saved, Dennis, saved in 1980. It saved a long time. 65 years old. He was saved a long time. And we're trying to explain, you know, hey, this is like war, like, you know, Exodus coming down. And, you know, typical answer, oh, it's the words. It's like Christian hooker. They don't go together, you know. Christian bartender. It's like oxymoron, you know. I go, hey, go watch a horror movie and turn the sound off. It'd be boring. I mean, it's the music. The music is a message in this, you know. But remember, this is a big place. And so that comes right in my message here. We're reading here in 2 Timothy. And exactly what I wanted to cover. So it was a perfect transition into our last part of my message. Next week I have some new ideas. I'm not exactly sure, but I got a few floating around. But in 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy. So you can see how the last weeks I was covering all these. I had 19 different characteristics of the last days, right? And right at the end, and here, I mean, those are not only the world doing that, but the Christians. You see that? It's a mixture of the world and Christians together. You can't see the difference. It's a mixture. You get that, right? You know, every dispensation ends bad, and it's that mixture of stuff. And what does the Lord say? Having a form of godliness. It's a church service. It's a Baptist church. They have some things that you expect to see at church, but yet they deny the power thereof. I mean, I got to bring in the rock music and the lights and shows and the rock music and everything, you know, all that. And they think you can get a crowd or a buzz out of that. They lost the truth of the power being in the Word of God. And that's the key. They don't have a Bible. So they, hey, how are you people here? And I can see I'm a marketing guy. I can see how they can fill a place like that, honestly. I mean, you want to fill a church? Yeah, I know what to do. It's simple, but you know, you can't do it with a clean conscience. Amen. So get into this. There I am right there. I mean, so anyway, so this last, oh, by the way, I'm going to take a little side note here. I want to cover this first a minute, back up a little bit. I'll put these on the back over here. This is a, I meant to mention this earlier, but this is a directive for physicians and family for COVID-19. This is I'll leave this here. This is a form that you can look at, and if you agree with these things, you can authorize the ones you have, and I can notarize. I'm a notary. Notary's free on Sunday. Notary's free every day, ends in Y. Okay, you know. But this tells you, besides that power of attorney for healthcare, it's very specific about you don't want to take anything like remdesivir. If you have had the shot, that you don't want to take it. And this helped my buddy Dave out, who I mentioned earlier. He was incapacitated, and he had one of these. And what happened in his family, some of the families are pro-vaccine, obviously, right? So you know how that goes. You got someone on one side saying, yay, do it. Another one saying, nay, but if you're incapacitated, you know, depending who you are, what you have for things. So this was a good one to help him not get the jab. And they have a pretty strong statement. You can go through, you want to put each one of these here, agree with them, you know, put a little mark on their initial your things. It says here that if a medical professional disregards my wishes and refuses to cooperate, I specifically request that a criminal referral be made for my assault on my personage, false imprisonment or neglect, even homicide if I should pass away. That's pretty bold. That scares people away a little bit, you know. I mean, it's pretty bold. I have educated myself on the COVID-19 pandemic, and I'm aware of the government protocols are life-threatening and that the medical establishment is no longer causing them. So, I mean, hey, I'll put it on back here. You know, if you want to look at it, if you need an notary, see somebody, I'll be happy to do it for you. It's just good having us in your mind because you know there'll be another problem coming down the road. We don't know what it's going to be, but you can see they got the testing ground already out. I mean, it's clear you get that. Who knows what it'll be? You know, this was a very good way of controlling people. Amen? and of causing financial hardships. And you can show people through food, through fear, and finances. You can get a lot of people, you know, I got to eat, right? Look at the book of Acts. They were eating people back in Kings there, right? Eating their own kids, right? Fear or finances, you control people all you want, all day. You don't need to have bombs going off. You do it the easy way. Why throw bombs at the countries you're going to take over? Walk and take your buildings, right? Amen? So I'll put that back over here. Sorry to get off on a tangent, but that helped my buddy out, and we help you out some way. Great. Want to help you out? Best thing, come to church, is try to get help a lot of different ways we can, right? Amen? Okay. Anyways, so getting back to the last part of my lesson here, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. One thing about the scripture here, you can't deny it from all the way from Genesis to Revelation. There's always a separation. There's always that this book is a separate book. It's separate. And the final attribute, characteristic of conditions going on in 2 Timothy 3:15, in the last days of the church. So what it does is it's a lack of godliness. It's a lack of what even, you know, I always tell people, define your words. What does that mean? When you talk to somebody, have them define their words so you can communicate with them. It's a good communication. You define the words. This word godliness, not even peer in the Old Testament, it's introduced in New Testament in the Pauline doctrine. And it's really, remember, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're kind of wicked people. The heart of man is wicked. When Christ is in us, that's a mystery, right? Amen? Christ, now you can be God. You can have godliness. You're not a God. You're a son of God, small s, but it's Christ in you. You can, you know, obviously you're spiritually circumcised, right? You know? So it's Christ is in us. Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known that is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's an amazing truth. Understand that. That's why eternal security is so important, because, you know, Christ is in you. People don't get that there. Being like God would be like according to his word. So how do you know and be like Christ? It's by obviously absorbing yourself in the word of God. A lot of believers, they're not sound because they don't have a good foundation of God's word. Obviously, here at the church here, you got some good foundations, good doctrines. I mean, that's a blessing. Now, count your blessings. Name them one by one. 1 Timothy 6:3-5 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine. Remember, it's about doctrine, which is according to what? Godliness. So good doctrine will give you godliness. You get that, right? Without good doctrine, you don't have godliness. That church I went to, they don't have good doctrine, so the godliness goes away. You can see where the problems are. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doing about questions and strifes of words. Remember, it's all about words. Wherefore cometh envying, strife, railings, evil surmises, preserved disputings of men of corrupt minds, and a destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. See that there? What's it say then? From such withdraw themselves. There's that separation again. See that, you know? Here it tells you in this verse here, it says, from such draw away, and from such withdraw thyself. So we're supposed to separate from them. And I remember I visited a church back in mid-2000s, Harvest Bible Chapel. It's up in Arlington Heights. Mega, mega church. James McDonald's a pastor over there. So I went over there, and I obviously was, you know, big time rock and roll. Major, major. They have to call in police people to get people coming in. Thousands of people coming there. And friend that brought me there, you know, they wrote an email, and it says, I was very negative about it, obviously, and he goes, my friend went to visit your church, and he's a street preaching, King James only, conservative kind of guy, and, you know, had some, not something at your church. And I wish I would have kept the email. They responded back, we were like that, but look at us now. See, supposing that gain is God. See that there? Because it's gigantic. We used to be, I mean, I'll tell you, I wish I would have kept some of the things that I've saw over the ages. They've been a great presentation. I'm telling you this, but you can see it right there, you know. Look at us now. Look at this. We obviously get gain. Well, then that makes the Roman Catholic Church the biggest thing going. They got a bank in every corner, tax-free bank, right? Amen. So that's why it says it here. You know, gain is godliness. That's in our last age. You can see it. Look at that work. It must be of God. You ought to check that out. I mean, that's what you see a lot of times, because the Old Testament, a lot of times, if you just live right and did right, God would obligate to bless you. Kind of the way he does things in the Old Testament. But tonight, hey, really by faith, it's different. So you understand that, you know, how that goes, you know. So here's a good getting down to application. The knowledge and application of Scripture can be applied to your craft or profession or occupation or business. I want to explain this, give you an answer. Let's take Carol, who used to be a nurse, or Mike's a painter. Whenever you started out, or any profession you have, you were probably an unconscious incompetent. What that means is you don't even realize how little you know. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting into something, and I don't even realize how little I know. That's a scary spot to be in. But you know what? The next, as you grow, you become a conscience incompetent. I realize I don't know some things. See, you're growing. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's like remember, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Baby people don't understand stuff, right? Your babies. Babies do stupid things. You know why? They don't even know what they're doing, right? You know, even the Bible says they don't have the knowledge of sin. That's why they die. They go to glory. I mean, because they don't have the knowledge. So we go from a conscious competence to a conscious competence. And then what happens is then you become a conscience competent. Hey, over my whatever I'm doing, craft, I now know what I'm doing. I'm confident about it. That's a good spot to be in after 15 years. And then finally we become conscience incompetent. You know something so well that you have to think about it, right? Oh, Mike goes paint. He knows what he's got to do ahead of time. You're already ahead of the game, right? You know? Or maybe with the nursing. I know. I come in, I probably know what's going on already. You've done so much that you're an unconscious. You just know, right? The same thing with the Scripture. That's exactly what God wants you as an aged saint to understand the Scripture so well that you know, oh, that's wrong. What it says here. See, I'm saying, you know, like in your profession, if you've done a lot of time in your profession and have done good at it, take that same strategy or with and apply it into the Scripture. You know, I'm an estate planner. I've done thousands of clients. People come in with all kinds of problems and are telling me, I already know where I'm taking them already. I've heard every story of blended families and outward kids and all things they ought to solve. I'm already over here already because I'm smiling because I've seen it all. So I'm an unconscious competent. I think the same thing. And well, look at the Scripture. It's way more important, you know. Now, obviously, if you're going to be a cash register worker all your life and know that well, you're limited to what you can do. But if you get to more of a profession like, you know, a higher profession and become good at it, you know, hey, that's a good thing. Whatever you do, do honestly. So the same concept of you want to become being unconscious competent is that's knowing the Scripture. Proverbs 9:9, give instructions to the wise man and he will yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. See, that's what we want to be here. Proverbs 1:2, to know wisdom and instructions to perceive the words of understanding. It's like, here is a bunch of tools, say plumbing tools. Okay, they're tools. And then here's how they work. That's great, but now here's the situation. How do you take the tools and how they work and fix the problem? Now you got some instruction and some knowledge and wisdom of applying those tools, right? Same thing with Scripture here. That's why in 2 Timothy gives all those marks, and now we need to be aware of these things so we can say, oh, and unfortunately, it's negative. You know, Bible says, preach the word, be instant, be honest, and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So 2/3 of it's correcting. When you're raising kids, you have kids, you're correcting them and rebuking them a lot of times, right? It's don't do this, don't do this here. Well, this, oh yeah, this is good over here. That's just the way life is. That's just the way it is. For the commandments is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. That's the way of life. Oh, mom, dad, you're bad. I remember my kids telling me stuff, my parents. I'm like, oh, they're fuddy-duddies. And later on, I go, man, they had wisdom back then. Oh, come on. We had a guy talking earlier. We had a guy named Tom Genghis. Our parents says, don't hang with that guy. You know, he was a no goodie, right? You know, and I'm like, oh, come on, mom, dad, you know what? He was no good. You know, everything he taught me was bad. You know, but you know, your parents have some wisdom, hopefully, so you're paying attention to them in some of these things. You know, so now how does this apply again to 2 Timothy 3:1-5? I like something called Bible calls put on and put off. So when you see something, when you have the scripture knowledge, where's the application? We're going to put on and put off. What's the acronym for put on and put off, Mike? Put on and put off. The acronym for put on and put off. Poo-poo. So that's how I remember it, okay? Now, it sounds like a bad word, but here, I'm trying to associate a word so you remember what this is. Hey, and this should be, you should be here an unconscious accomplice about these things. See what I'm saying, you know? Oh, poo-poo. Well, I mean, I'm using it as an acronym here, but get you remember this thing here. So it's put on and put off when you see some of these things. So let's look at this for a little bit here. Let's look at put on and put off as I just close this lesson out here for this time. Put off. The word put off in the scripture is found 45 scriptures in the Bible. 30 in the Old Testament and 15 in the New. So in the Old Testament, the word put off, mostly, almost every time in Scripture, has to do with some kind of garment, a physical garment, tied to religious reason or ceremonial law. So obviously, without a doubt, I think you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially in the Paul, are different. If things are different, they can't be the same. You get that, right? You know, there's some principles we get, but we work differently. If you're trying to put it all together in one big pot, the soup pot, you're going to get a very bad tasting soup. You got to, you know, divide them. So let me give you an example here. Numbers 16:47 says, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. A plague coming on here. And he put on incense. Now, incense is a type of a prayer in the Old Testament, you know, and made an atonement for the people. So he's doing something. Every time you find the word put on in the Old Testament, it has to do with the ceremonial, something physical generally, almost every time in the Old Testament. Jonah 3:5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believe God. How about that? And proclaim the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. There it is, a physical element, but it had to do with repentance, right? You know, they're always putting something on. And every single time you find this word, remember, God puts these words in there for a reason. These phrases, and if you study them out, you'll find a lot of times an application where God leads with them. It's like a puzzle. Boy, here are some phrases. Let's study them by look at the principle you get out of that. That's getting into the Word of God, understanding the things that you just don't get, like John 3:16. You know, that's nice. I love that verse, but like, there's way more on the application of those things. And so putting on the sackcloth is a form of repentance. The only time in the Old Testament where it applies more to a spiritual thing was in Job 29, and kind of Job is a picture kind of the Jews' tribulation, if you think about that, right? You know, it says, I put on righteousness. So there's a characteristic. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. So obviously Job is speaking about a spiritual covering, his righteousness, you know, but every time else in the Old Testament, if you look up the word put on, like I don't know what you guys use for a study program. I have a thing called Sword Searcher. Outstanding. I mean, whatever you like, not to make a little commercial for Sword Searcher. It's just got everything you need. The guy's a Bible believer put together, and it tells you here 30 times where they appear, what context. It's just outstanding for, it does a lot of work for you. I don't have to be lazy, but it adds a lot of work for you. Where in the old days, I can imagine a candle rites with a concordance. In fact, Mike gave me a concordance for my wedding. Remember that? A big book? And I never use it anymore. You know why? I had a computer. It's a paperweight. But I mean, to go through that thing physically, find the word, it just takes time. When you hit a computer, hit them all right there, boy, you're saving a lot of time. Redeem the time, right? So while your time is valuable, right? When you get older like me, you know how valuable time is. Amen? The old folks, amen? Okay. Anyways, so you can see here in this putting on part in the Old Testament, it's a lot of physical things. Physical things. Now we get to the New Testament, and almost all the times, once you get into all the Pauline doctrine, has to do with spiritual things. So putting on things, Romans 13, 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That's not a physical armor. That's a spiritual armor of light, the word of God. You know, Galatians 3, 27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's, you know, hey, you know, I think Christ in you, hope of glory, right? We're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know, Ephesians 4, 24, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a spiritual matter. That's how we take these things. We're in a spiritual warfare today. Not so much a physical warfare in the Old Testament, they physically fighting battles. We're in a spiritual warfare here today. And coming to that, Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. And obviously the breastplate of righteousness, you know, the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit. Those are all spiritual items. It's a physical word of God, but spiritual. So all these things we're putting on are spiritual today to defend us against some of these teachings going on here. And then now we get into more the characteristics. It says in Colossians 3, 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, say people, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Those are characters. See, you know? So we got the knowledge, we have the character that should produce those things. We put those things on. That should be unconscious, incompetent. Those things right there, amen? And then it says here, and then above all, Colossians 14, put on charity. There you are. Hey, you want though? You can have so much truth. It says the Lord Jesus Christ came with truth and grace. You have so much truth, you lose. Yeah, it's all true. You have charity. The people that brought us to this church, was a young girl recommended going into her. She was 21. We had lunch. I didn't tell her things I'm telling you. I gave her some good. The older people I told a little bit to, but you know, there's some charity. You know what to say and how to say it, right? You know. So just some charity, put on charity a lot of times. You know, hey, you know what? Three things. God. You know, I mean God, you know, God of the Bible. Grace. Number two, grace. And guts. See that there, you know? And guns maybe four, I don't know, whatever, you know. But you know what though? Hey, God, we need some grace. We need some guts today. In Acts it says, when they saw Peter and knew when he be with Jesus, have the boldness. You know what that means today? Get into the Word of God. By you being with Jesus, you get the boldness, get some guts. Get that, folks? So there's that application of that here. Okay, and look at the last one here of many. Just giving you some good ones here. And then this is God's part, but it's a great motivation. 1 Corinthians 15, 53, 54. For this corruptible, speaking of the body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immorality, so that this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's God's part. He's going to put us on new glorification body. But it's this part, but guess what? We know that it's a great motivation factor, right? The blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and appearing for our great God and Savior. See that we should know that. Oh, hey, he went through whatever's going through, all these problems. What though? I got the characteristics down. God's in me. I know the characteristics. And you know what though? I'm going to go to glory when they change. So things, when you look at them differently, it affects your life. Hey, why is that guy not being knucklehead, complaining all the time. He must know something, right? Amen? Now, in closing, talk about put off. Put on, put off. There's always, remember, if you remove something from your life kind of negative, you want to fill with something else. You have a void in your life, right? You got to fill with something, you know, obviously good. If I get rid of my filthy rock music, I need to think on some decent spiritual music. If I have a bad habit I'm going to, I want to take something else up here. That's just to fill that little void. Now, put on, put off. Interesting is this put on or put off appears 15 times in the Bible. Again, 10 in the old, 5 in the new. Exactly half. Lord's God's organization. So same thing. In the Old Testament, it's pretty much physical again. It's physical again and spiritual. Remember, we walk by faith. Now, right? In the Old Testament, we had to kind of do things to, you know, do all these ceremonial things and animals to kind of get favor of God. And now we do by faith because Jesus Christ did it. A clear transition, obviously. People don't see that. And by not seeing that, they're trying to do things to please God, even in the church or saved, because they don't understand the division there. That's important to get it and understand that we're living by faith today. Amen? So, put off. Remember, put on, put off. Poo-poo, okay? All right? In the Old Testament, has to do with physical things tied to religious or ceremonial law. And I use that word religious because the only word it appears has to do with the Jewish religion, right? Jewish people, you know, and they called it a religion. Exodus 3:5. And he said, this is Jesus Christ, or this is God, Father talking to Moses, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. It's not only the first mention, put something off, but God's telling someone, take off something that is filthy and have an item where you're coming to a clean place. See it? Take off your filthy shoes, you're in a clean place. So always, again, it's a physical thing, but it's a concept there. Leviticus 6:11, and he shall put off his physical garments and put on garments to carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. So God's always telling the Old Testament to put some things off. On a physical standpoint, they're tied to some kind of spiritual rule or ceremonial law. Psalm 30:11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So there we go. We're putting off sackcloth after repentance, and now we're going back in the gladness because we're right with the Lord. It's always a physical item. Now, in the New Testament, it's almost never non-physical. It's spiritual and character traits. Ephesians 4:22, that he put off what? The former conversation of the old man. See, put off the old man, put on the new man. You see that? You know, the old man tries to take its head up a lot of times. And it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. You know, like, hey, you know, am I going to feed the flesh or am I going to feed the spirit? The one that wins, you feed the most wins. Got to get that, folks. You know, so here it is. Put off concerning the former conversation, old man, which is, hey, lift them, corrupt according to what? Deceitful lust. That's our mind. We start here thinking. That's why your mind, you're thinking, all of a sudden, hey, out comes from the mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. It comes to your mind and your heart, and you speak it out. That's not got good. Put off concerning the former conversation and these lusts. Colossians 3:8. But now we also put off all these. Look at the list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications of your mouth. These are believers, folks. These are believers. That's why, you know, believer, you know, if you don't understand these things, it gets into a little bit of a rut. Maybe I'm not saved, or maybe, well, I mean, hey, it's your flesh. Put those things off. Put on something there, you know. You know, why not one to another, seeing that he put off the old man, see again, with his deeds, and it ends. See that there? So putting off the old man and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on, put off. And this should happen without thinking. A mature person should be able to have this instantly. Think about this here. That turns the the boys and the men, the girls and the women, and we call the Bible class the aged saint. So you should know these things here. Look at what's happening here. These verses I cover over the months in 2 Timothy, and knowing those are believers and the world mixing together, and you know, hey, those aren't good. Hey, but how do you address them? You know, truth, grace, good attitude, and then you disregard. Don't deal with them. Bible says, turn away from them. And that helps you walk with the Lord, and then the Lord knows your hearts. Hey, that guy's trying to do what's the right thing. That lady is trying to do the right thing. He likes that. That's how you please God in these matters. Amen? That makes sense? Amen? Okay. Any questions? Good thing I talk fast through all this stuff. Amen? We do lessons. Amen? Okay. All right. Well, hey. Next week, Lord willing, I got some direction for a new series of messages. And so we'll see where the Lord leads. I got two places I'm going to go. We'll see. But we thank you for when you read these verses here in five verses in all these months, hopefully you'll think of these things. Like, oh, yeah, remember that. Remember the word poo-poo there, you know what I mean? Put on, put off. I'm trying to give you some, you know, you got to memorize some things here. You got to put in your mind here because, you know, memory's going, and a lot of times I have Ackermans, like slab. What slab mean, Gene? Sleep like a baby, you know? So I got all kinds of Ackermans to remember things, you know? All right. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity just to be able to look at your word and see how true it is and how relevant it is and how timely it is. But we know our time is coming to a close. Draw it nigh, as the Bible says. And you know what, though? What we ought to do is just try to be the best lights that we can, be an example, know our roles, and you know what? That great thing's coming, the glorification of our bodies. Our body's going, mine's going down. I know that. What a blessing it is when we get older knowing this body's going to be put away and we'll be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, amen. That's a blessing. So we just pray, Father, that you'd be able to work in our hearts and minds and minister accordingly in each and every one's life so we can brag on you and glorify you. And as we close, Father, I pray for Brother Pastor Hoffman as he comes here today. May we open up our hearts and minds, be able to hear from you. And I pray, oh God, that we'll be able to partake of the preaching and the music. And I pray that you'll be able to change us in any way we need to, Father. We're open for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.